Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. I hope you're doing well on this sunny Wednesday. It's Wednesday, February the 15th, the day right after Valentine's Day. We had a wonderful prayer meeting yesterday. And it always amazes me to see how the Lord takes each one of those prayer meetings and does what he wills with them. Each week, God just moves in a different way. And so I feel empowered. I feel full of hope. And knowing that God not only hears our prayers, but is already answering them. We are in this series, which is entitled Complete Success Assured. Complete Success Assured. Who does the assuring? Well, it's God. God assures us complete success that we, his church, face overwhelming odds. Our text is Joshua chapter 17, verse number 18, and it reads, Joshua 17, 18. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood or a forest area, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoing of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, Lord, seeking wisdom, seeking understanding, seeking illumination. So, Holy Spirit, help us today. Help us to understand the nuances of the text. Bring it to life. Speak to us. Encourage us. Strengthen us. We pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You already know what the text is all about. We spoke about that on Monday. The house of Joseph, the two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, come to Joshua, who happens to be a member of the house of Joseph. That's his, that the house of Ephraim is the house or the tribe from which Joshua proceeded from. So they come to Joshua and they say to him, listen, we are two tribes, but you've given us the allotment, you've given us the land for one. And Joshua says, no, you're mistaken. I've given you the allotment for two tribes. Now, of course, one allotment is completely wooded. That belongs to you. It's your job to clear out the forest. When you clear out the forest, when you chop down the trees, use those trees to make your homes. And as you keep cutting into the forest, you shall expand your allotment. In addition, they said to him, well, we can't do that. Well, why not? Well, because there's Canaanites there. And he says, and so what? God is with you. Although they are many, you shall expel them. You shall drive them out. And though they have iron chariots, that won't be a problem for you. And although they be strong, that's nothing. Okay, so the odds are overwhelming, but God has assured you complete success. So stop griping, stop complaining, take back or take what God has given you. And so we're in this text because God has given us, Grace Church and other churches, those who belong to that, not the house of Joseph, but the house of the Lord, God has given us St. Johnsville. He's given us St. Johnsville. And so we must drive out the Canaanites. And we were talking yesterday and we came to the conclusion that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not picking up bats and sticks and clubs, and we're not beating people out of their homes. We're not beating the ungodly out of their properties. No, we're not doing that. The Canaanites for us today, for the church, since we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Canaanites are demons. They're what Paul calls in Ephesians chapter 6, territorial or geographic principalities, powers, rulers, and spiritual wickedness. St. Johnsville, as every other little hamlet and village and town and city and state and nation, because they all are, every municipality, every little village, every hamlet, every little town, every little city, a big city, small city, every state, every nation, every continent is filled with these principalities, powers, rulers, and spiritual wickedness. But it's up to the Lord's people in those little villages and hamlets and little cities and towns and municipalities and states and nations and continents to drive back the powers of darkness. It's our job. That's what we're called to do. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 is all about. So we can't gripe and we can't complain when our churches are empty. We can't say, well, look at all this that God has promised us. He's promised us to be the head and not the tail. God has promised us to be more than conquerors, but look at us. We're down to 6 people. We're down to 10 people. We're down to 20 people. What has happened? Why hasn't God fulfilled his word? Well, God's on your side, but you have not done your job, which is to what? To drive out the Canaanites. Push back the powers of darkness, and you will enlarge your allotment. But Brother Torres, they have iron chariots, and they be strong. And Joshua said, so what? Now, our Joshua is Jesus. Jesus says to us, and so what? Do what I've called you to do. So, today we're looking at the phrase, though they have iron chariots. Yesterday we looked at how it's our job to drive out the powers of darkness. Today we want to see how we are to contend with their iron chariots. How do we contend with their iron chariots? Now, are you telling me, Brother Torres, that demons have chariots? Absolutely, they do. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we want to look at verse number 16. Ephesians 6, 16. It says, above all, this is Paul speaking of the Christian armor, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts or arrows of the wicked. Now, what is a chariot? If you remember in previous studies that we did in previous Manna series this year, we talked about chariots. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we shall trust in the name of the Lord. That was a series we did. So what is a chariot? A chariot is a mobile firing platform, a mobile firing platform. Well, where do you think these arrows are coming from in Ephesians 6:16? Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench the fiery darts, the flaming arrows of the wicked demons. They too have what? Mobile firing platforms. You say, well, I'm not convinced. Okay. Then it's my job today to convince you. It's my job to show you from Scripture that this is the case. Either way, fiery arrows, fiery darts are coming your way, and you need to have what? The shield of faith to quench them, to neutralize them, to make them non-effective. So let me take you to the book of 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to start reading at verse number 8. 2 Kings 6, the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Israel, God's people, is about to take on the army of Syria. And here we pick it up where we have the prophet Elisha, L-E-I-S-H-A, Elisha, the prophet Elisha, because I'm going to be talking about Elijah, but now I'm talking about his student, his mentoree, Elisha. 2 Kings 8, or rather 2 Kings 6, starting at verse 8. Let's all turn there, because we're going to be reading up to verse number 18. We're going to be reading from verse 8 to 18, and I want you to see what the word of the Lord is here in the text. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
The king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel,
beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.
Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them,
will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?
None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.
Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.
Surely he is in Dothan.
Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city.
So there's the prophet Elisha and the king of Syria, frustrated, because he can't win this war, because Elisha keeps spilling his secrets, says, let's surround the prophet. Let's get rid of him. Once we get rid of the man of God, then we can get rid of the armies of Israel. So now we turn to verse number 15.
When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him,
alas, my master, what shall we do?
So Elisha has an understudy, a prophetic understudy, the servant of Elisha. And he gets up in the morning and he looks out and he sees that they're surrounded. It's curtains. It's over. We're finished. We're done for. We'll be impaled. Our heads will roll. They're going to kill us. It's over. Alas, master, what shall we do? We're surrounded. Look at all these horsemen. Look at all these chariots. There's no way of escape. They've got us cornered. There's no way for us to get out of this predicament. Now look at the response of the prophet.
Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
Well, fear not. Those who are with us, those who are on our side, are much more than they that are with them. And I can see his understudy saying, this is not the time for you to be preaching. I need facts. I need more than words. I need proof that this is real, because it's over. To me now about faith, there's more people with us than with them. I don't see that. I just see the two of us, and I see us surrounded. This is not a time for a faith message. This is a time to come up with a way of escape. We need to get out of here fast. What's your exit plan? I don't want to hear a sermon right now. So what does Elijah do? Well, Elijah does what every good pastor ought to do. Pray. You see, my brothers and sisters, the answer to the church's victory and continuous victories is what? Prayer. It's always about prayer. We keep bumping into this fact at every turn. Every time you turn, every time the church is in a problem, every time the church is in a bind, every time someone can't see what you're telling them, they just don't get it. They don't understand it. What do you do for that person? You pray for them. So Elijah prays. So let's read the prayer in verse 17.
And Elisha prayed.
Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.
Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
You see, Elijah prayed. He says, my understudy, Lord, doesn't see what I see. He thinks we're trapped. He thinks we're doomed. He thinks this is the last hour of our life. Lord, open his eyes. Give him illumination. Give him understanding. And the Lord heard the prayer and opened his eyes. Listen, you can't lecture on this stuff. You can preach on it. You can lecture on it. But unless God opens people's eyes, they don't get it. And behold, the mountain on Elijah's side was full of horses and chariots, but what was their makeup? Horses and chariots of fire, angelic horses and chariots round about on the man of God's side. Verse 18.
So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord,
strike this people, I pray, with blindness.
And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha.
You see, and again, he prays that God would open the eyes of his servant, his understudy, his mentoree, And then he says, and I want you to shut the eyes. I want you to blind the eyes of the enemy. This way we can get away. You see, angelic horses and chariots. There are more angels with us. There are more chariots of fire on our side than those that the demonic Canaanites have on their side. Oh, if only God would open our eyes. But of course, that comes by means of what? Prayer. Prayer. How did Elijah and his servant escape? By prayer. How did Elijah's servant clear understanding? By prayer. Not by preaching, not by teaching, not by putting on a CD player and listening to some songs of worship. No. Not by opening up the hymnal and singing some hymns. No. By prayer. The church is victorious by means of prayer. Now, let me give you the second example in case, you know, again, this text proves that there are chariots of what? Of fire. Again, verse 17, it says, and the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Angels on Elisha's side. Now, let's turn to the man Elijah, the mentor of Elisha. And for that, I want you to go to 1 Kings, 1 Kings 30. 1 Kings 30, as you know, the prophet Elijah at this point has challenged the false prophets of Baal to call down fire from heaven, and the God who answers by fire is the one true God. Okay, so now, again, here is the prophet Elijah, a man of prayer. As James says, Elijah earnestly prayed, or in the Greek, it says prayed. So the translators, in order not to put down in the text prayed, they put earnestly prayed. He continued to pray. He prayed without ceasing. So here is the prophet Elijah about to call down fire from heaven as he prays to the Lord to send it. 1 Kings 18, starting at verse number 30. Turn there, please. Thus beginneth the reading of God's precious word.
Then Elijah said to all the people,
come near to me.
So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seers of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said,
fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. Do it a second time.
And they did it a second time.
Do it a third time.
And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again.
So, does he preach? No. Does he sing? Does he call in the musicians, the band, the orchestra, the worship leaders, the background singers to do praise and worship? No. Is he doing a manner from heaven? No. What does he do? He prays. So let's see what happens in verse 38. Let's see if God hears and answers his prayer. Let's see.
Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces.
The Lord, he is God.
God answered. Did God answer the preaching? No. Did God answer the teaching? No. Did God answer the seminar? No. Did God answer the praise and worship? No. What did God answer? The prayer. Prayer first. Paul says to Timothy, first of all, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for those who are in authority. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what Elijah did here. He prayed so that men might come to the knowledge of the truth. They were in error. They were worshiping false gods, but he prayed, and God answered. But that's not where the story ends. The man himself, Elijah, becomes a chariot. And we don't read the Bible with full understanding. We're talking about chariots in the text today. They said to Joshua, the Canaanites have chariots of iron. And Joshua says, so what? Ahab has a chariot, the king. Now, if you're king, you have the best chariot in the land. And yet, Elijah becomes God's chariot and outruns Ahab's chariot. Let's read that. And there's a reason for this. There's a reason why that story is included here. There's a reason why the chapter ends on that note. Because Elijah is representative of Israel's chariot. He is Israel's chariot. One chariot. God has one chariot. The man Elijah represents that one chariot. Here it is. We're going to read down to verse number 46.
Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.
So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab,
go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.
So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant,
go up now, look toward the sea.
So he went up and looked.
There is nothing.
And seven times he said,
go again.
Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said,
there is a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea.
Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots, and go down before the rain stops you.
Well, how does the rain come? Well, Elijah is engaged in a lengthy prayer meeting by himself. And he sends out his servant and says, go look and see if you see any signs of a cloud. The guy said no the first time. The second time, no, I don't see anything. And Elijah keeps praying. And then on the seventh time, hey, I see now a little cloud is the size of a man's hand at the distance. He says, go take word to Elijah. Tell him, get on his chariot and hightail it out, or else he won't be able to make it. There's going to be such a torrential rain that the roads will be made muddy, and he won't be able to get down to his palace. Tell him to hurry up, get on his fastest chariot, get on the king's chariot, and make it down there. Well, let's read what happens next.
Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel.
So the might and the power of God came upon Elijah, the hand of the Lord, the power, the anointing of God. And Elijah outran Ahab's chariot. Now, at least Ahab's chariot at least had to have two horses. Two, if not four. And Elijah beat him to Jezreel, because Elijah was God's chariot. I'm going to prove it to you through another scripture. Let's go to 2 Kings as we're about to conclude our lesson. 2 Kings chapter 2. Our next text, 2 Kings chapter 2. And this is the text where we find both Elijah and Elisha. This is where both are together, the mentor and the mentoree. And this is the chapter in which Elijah is going to be taken up to heaven. 2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 1, all the way to verse number 12. And again, all these things happened, everything happened because what? Elijah was a man of prayer. It all happened because of not preaching, not teaching, not lecturing, not visiting, not pontificating, not worshiping, not praising, but prayer. Prayer. 2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 1.
And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha,
stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.
So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him,
do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?
Yes, I know. Keep silent.
Then Elijah said to him,
Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.
As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.
So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him,
do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? Yes, I know. Keep silent.
Then Elijah said to him,
stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.
So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha,
"Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?
Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.
You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so."
Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Now notice, in verse 11, you have what? A chariot of fire and horses of fire. In other words, an angelic Uber. The same way when the prophet Elisha prayed for his servants and said, "Lord, open his eyes," and then he was able to see chariots of fire and horses of fire, right? We talked about that in our first text in 2 Kings 6. Well, now in verse 11 of 2 Kings 2, here comes this angelic Uber that comes down and it sweeps and it picks up the prophet Elijah. So that's an angelic chariot. But I want you to note the language in verse 12. Because now there's a different chariot. This one is human.
And Elisha saw it, and he cried out,
"Father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen."
So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said,
"Where is the Lord God of Elijah?"
And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over.
And there you have it. Look at verse 12. And Elisha saw it. What? The event. And he cried, my father, you are the chariot of Israel. And the horse, not only are you the chariot, but you're also the driver of that chariot. Now, what does that mean? Well, I know if I told you, you wouldn't believe me, so I turned to an authority, which I quote in the outline here. And this quote comes to us by the great renowned scholar, Robert Hawker, who put together back in the 1800s the Poor Man's Dictionary, Bible Dictionary. And on page 29 of his 1811 edition of the Poor Man's Dictionary, he writes this: Elijah. Thus Elijah's chariot, by which he went up into heaven, is called the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, by which is meant the ascension of Elijah's fervent prayers for Israel. Now listen to what Hawker says. And this is the proper interpretation. When his understudy called him the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, this is what is meant by that. What is meant is the ascension of Elijah's fervent prayers for Israel, not Elijah's ascension, but the ascension of Elijah's prayers or intercessions on behalf of Israel were more powerful and more prevailing than all the chariots of Israel in their defense. You see, the man of prayer, the woman of prayer, is a chariot and a horseman for the people of God. So, the Canaanites have their chariots. So what? We do also. We have many chariots that assemble on Tuesday night. They're called prayer warriors. We gather on Tuesday night with Sister Linda Hart leading the way, and we cry out to God, and our prayers ascend heaven faster than any chariot could. That's what is meant by the chariot. Again, verse 12. And it came to pass as they still walked on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and departed them both asunder. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Then Elijah saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Prayer warriors are chariots for the Lord. And what they carry with great alacrity, with great speed, are the prayers, the intercessions, which they utter. So, my brothers and sisters, how are we going to drive out the Canaanites? How are we going to drive out the principalities and the powers and the forces of darkness that surround St. Johnsville? By becoming chariots of intercession, chariots of prayer. When we get together on Tuesday, and when you pray each and every day as you've been praying, your prayers run up to God with so much speed, and God hears them, and God answers them. We're going to leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow to finish off this four-part series. I hope and pray you have been blessed. I certainly have. Be encouraged and know that the Lord is on our side. God bless you.
How do you want?